Now turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 22 and verse 14, and you'll find it in your pew Bible on page 881. Luke chapter 22 and at verse 14, and we'll be reading down through the 20th verse. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Now, in the remaining moments of 2015, I thought we would look together at one of the familiar passages, one of the synoptic gospel accounts of the Last Supper. We refer to it as the Last Supper in reference, of course, to Jesus. This was his Last Supper before he was crucified, but in many senses it was also the first supper, the first supper of the new covenant, the first supper as a sign and seal in perpetuity of the new covenant for the Church of Jesus Christ. The passage makes it very obvious, underlines the point that this was Passover. There are references to Passover in verse 7, when we are told, Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And again in verse 8, when Peter and John are sent to go and prepare for Passover, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. And then at the end of verse 13, and they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And again in verse 15, in the text we just read together, when Jesus says to the disciples, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. Now I'm not going to go into the issue of why it is that John seems to have a different day for the Passover, and that there seems to be a discrepancy between John and the Synoptic Gospels, and there are various explanations why that is so, all of which need not cause us any doubt whatsoever as to the trustworthiness, inspiration, and inerrancy of Scripture. For this evening's purposes, this was Passover night. Passover, of course, was an annual meal, commemorating, as it did, a defining moment in Israel's history, a bit like July 4th and Thanksgiving rolled into one, a memorable date in the history of the nation, but also and the formation of the nation, but also attending with that a meal, so like a combination of July 4th and Thanksgiving. It was 1,000 years, of course, in the disciples' past, the Exodus, and more. When recalling, as it did, the enslavement of Israel in Egypt and the many plagues that were brought upon Pharaoh to loosen Pharaoh's grip upon Egypt and upon the Israelites, and finally that sword of God's justice which fell on everyone, every home in Egypt, including Jewish homes, and only those homes where there was the sacrificial substitutionary blood of Passover lamb sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels of the doorposts, would there be any escape from that wrath of God that came down on that evening? The only escape was to put your faith entirely in God's sacrificial provision. When justice came, there was either a dead child or a dead lamb in that home. It was very clear, and the message was very clear. A meal had to be prepared for Passover in a very precise way, involving a distinct form and a distinct liturgy, a ritual, and people anticipated it. There remains today in what is known in Jewish circles as the Seder meal, Seder for Passover, an empty chair for Elijah. Many homes that celebrate, Jewish homes that celebrate Passover, will have a chair. Some of them will have a place setting with a setting for Elijah, according to the prophecy of Malachi, that before Messiah comes, Elijah will come. Some Jewish homes will open the door in the middle of the celebration of Passover. They'll open the front door as a kind of symbolic anticipation of the coming of Messiah. There are four significant moments in the celebration of Passover. When the presider, typically the head of the household, will take a cup, a glass of wine, and explain the meaning of Passover and the feast, representing the four significant promises that were made at the time of the announcement of the Exodus, in Exodus 3 and again in Exodus chapter 6. We read in verse 17, he took a cup. This isn't the cup that's referred to down in verse 20, the cup after they had eaten. This is a preliminary cup. This is perhaps the first cup of four cups in the Passover ritual. This was the first one. And he took the cup, and the presider would say a blessing over this cup, typically. Blessed are you, Lord and God, eternal King, who has created the fruit of the vine. That would be a typical blessing that would be said at Passover. And that seems to be the inference in verse 17. This was the first cup of Passover, and he took it and distributed it among the disciples. Actually, the Greek is not suggestive of one cup, but actually individual cups. I know there's a bit of a discussion about individual versus one cup, but the Greek here seems to suggest that this could go in either direction, and very probably and typically, and according to one of the Jewish records or the Mishnah, these were individual cups. Now I want to explore this passage. It's a familiar passage in the context of Passover. I want to explore it just briefly along three lines of thought. First of all, anticipation. You read in verse 15, this is Jesus now speaking to the apostles. Peter and John have gone ahead and prepared for Passover in the upper room in Jerusalem. And in verse 16, I tell you, I will not eat it. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I have earnestly desired. You could render this literally, with desire I desired. With desire I desired. There's a deliberate nature here to what Jesus is saying. He has anticipated this. He has prepared for this. His entire life was set in the direction of this event and what it signifies in terms of what it means for Jesus' death and crucifixion the next day. He had lived his entire life for this moment, from the moment of consciousness, the moment of his understanding, as he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men, as he searched the Old Testament scriptures, as the Holy Spirit gave him further understanding of who he was and the role that he had come to accomplish. He had lived for this moment, for this. Christ, our Passover, is slain for us. It had been the Father's business that he had been engaged in from the very beginning. And he has this longing, this anticipation. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I think the emphasis here, it's not so much that he has earnestly desired to be crucified, to become the Passover lamb. The emphasis is, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. With you. Where does Jesus want to be in the hour of his trial, on the eve of his crucifixion, hours before his betrayal? With whom does he want to pass this time? And he makes it very clear that Jesus' greatest desire is to be with his people. I don't know about you, I find that extraordinarily moving. He has longed, he has desired that this moment, this impending moment that loomed large on his consciousness, and perhaps in the last 2 years or so, and perhaps in the last months, and especially in the last few days, had weighed heavier and heavier upon him as he walked this path that would lead to his crucifixion. With whom does he want to spend this time? With his disciples. With those whom he will characterize in the upper room discourse in John's gospel as his friends. To share a meal with them. What does it mean to share a meal with someone? And there are casual meals for sure, but then there are special meals. I've been invited to a meal this evening, and I've accepted. I've been looking forward to it. I've been wondering what's on the menu. But I've been wondering, too, about the conversation and about the people with whom I will be seated at table. I'm looking forward to it. I've got some questions that I want to ask. What does it mean to share a meal with someone? Well, it means to have fellowship. It means to have a relationship with, especially in Near Eastern culture. And Jesus is saying, this is my great longing and anticipation to spend this time with you, my disciples, with you here in this gathering, as we gather on this final day of 2015, and we gather to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to commune with Christ, to commune with Him. I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me, and fellowship, and participate. And that's the first thing, his anticipation. And Jesus' greatest desire is to be with his people. What a Savior we have who loves our company, loves to be with us and to fellowship with us. We do not have an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then secondly, the liturgy. First, the anticipation. Secondly, the liturgy. There's a serious departure from the traditional script in the liturgy here. Verse 19, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." Verse 20, the cup, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." He took bread and he took a cup. These were parts of every meal, not just Passover. Every meal had bread. I don't think it's a meal unless there is bread. I know there's something of an issue with carbs and so on, and can't imagine life without bread. Good bread, there's good bread and bad bread, but bread. But it was part of any meal, not just Passover meal. And wine, this cup, and it too was a part of an everyday meal, not just Passover. He took bread, he took everyday components. Yes, the setting is Passover, but he doesn't take Passover elements as such. He took bread and wine, given for you, poured out for you. Notice that language in Luke's gospel. It's not in Matthew or Mark, it's just here in Luke. For you. And it uses one of those prepositions in the New Testament that is suggestive of substitution, on your behalf. Given on your behalf, poured out on your behalf, in your room, in your place, in your stead. So right here at the institution of the Lord's Supper, there's a little intimation by Jesus that what he's about to do, he's doing on our behalf. He's doing in our place, just like the Passover lamb whose blood was shed. In place of the shedding of the blood of the firstborn, as a substitution for. So Jesus' Passover here is substitutionary. You notice in relationship to the cup word, there are many suggestions here of Old Testament passages. We're told, for example, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant. Suggestive of the promise of the new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31. In my blood, suggestive as it is of Exodus chapter 24 and the ratification of the Mosaic covenant when blood was sprinkled on the people on that occasion. And notice also the somewhat odd words, unless you know your Old Testament, "whose shed poured out for you, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood, and poured out, well, for many." Poured out for many. And again, suggestive as it is that this is taken from the fourth servant song in Isaiah. There are these little allusions in the liturgy here. This is a sign and seal of a new covenant, not the old covenant. The old covenant was in shadow and in types, and it required constant repetition. What did Augustine say about the old covenant? Well, it was like a room full of furniture, but the lights were dimmed. Like getting up in the middle of the night. You think you know your way around, but somebody has left something on the floor, a toy or something, and you step on it. The Old Testament was anticipatory. Was there forgiveness in the Old Testament? Yes, there was. It was by the blood of sacrifice, but the blood of bulls and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the conscience could never cleanse the sinner. It had to be repeated day after day and week after week and month after month and in Passover, year after year. There was a constant repetition of it until Jesus came, because it pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus. You notice how he says here, I'm not going to eat or drink until I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, verse 18, until the kingdom of God comes. You know, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, when somebody says, I'm not going to eat or drink until, it was like making an oath. In Acts 23, for example, there are those people that are so mad with the Apostle Paul that they say they're not going to eat or drink until they kill him. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this even if it kills me, we sometimes say. It was an oath. It was a promise. It was like signing a contract. Only this contract is sealed with the blood of Jesus. There's something about the Lord's Supper in the liturgy of the Lord's Supper that looks to the past, looks to Passover. There's something about the liturgy that looks to the present. They were there, they were celebrating Passover, but it was now something else. But there's also a sense here in which they're also looking ahead. And Jesus speaks of a kingdom. How does he put it? I will not eat of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Until the kingdom of God comes. He says it twice in verse 16 and again in verse 18. It's somewhat reminiscent of how he taught the disciples to pray. Thy kingdom come. There's a sense in which the kingdom has come. There's a sense in which the king has come. But there's a sense, too, in which that kingdom has yet to be fulfilled in all of its splendor, in all of its glory. I'm going to bring you to my Father's arms. That's what he's saying. I'm making a promise, a solemn promise, and I'm going to bring you to my Father's arms. You're going to feast with the king, anticipating perhaps Revelation chapter 19 and the meal, the banquet meal of the king that's spoken of in Revelation 19. There's a promise here in perpetuity until the kingdom comes. What's it saying? These symbols of bread and wine. They are until Jesus comes. Until the kingdom comes in its power. Until everything is fulfilled. And everything will be fulfilled. Because it is signed and sealed by the blood of the Lamb. The Passover Lamb. Jesus is making a solemn, unbreakable promise of full and final redemption. I'm giving you a little, well, as I've said before, this is like an hors d'oeuvre. If this is all there is for the meal that I'm going to this evening, I'd be disappointed. Just a little cube of bread and just a little sip of wine. I'd be disappointed, and you would be too. But it's a little hors d'oeuvre. It's a little, well, it's an anticipation of more to come, of the banquet and the feast that we will enjoy in the new heavens and in the new earth. Well, there's the anticipation, and there's the liturgy, and then thirdly, there is the appeal. Do this in remembrance of me. Twice he says this. Verse 19, do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of him. It's not about bread. It's not about wine. It's not about the liturgy. It's about him. Fellowship with him. That Christ has come. It's all about him. It's about having a relationship with him. How do we want to enter 2016 and walk through 2016 with whatever it brings? With him, with the Lord Jesus, when trial comes, with the Lord Jesus, when the way before us seems shrouded in clouds and mist, with the Lord Jesus beside us, when we know not what a day may bring forth, but with him, all is well. Do this in remembrance of me. Because we are prone to forget. We can get caught up in so many aspects of Christianity and forget him. And Jesus is saying here at the heart of the supper, it's about me and fellowship with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the supper and thank you for this perpetual ritual that you've given to us, this rhythm in our lives when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we remember the Lord Jesus. We remember all that he is and all that he has done for us. And we pray now as we come to the table. We pray for your blessing as we heed your invitation that you stand at the door and knock, and if any man answer that door, open that door, that you will come in and sup with him, with her. So grant it, Lord, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.